You are listening to Rated F for Fabulous.
Hey guys, it's Amanda.
And I'm Katie.
And we're rated F for Fabulous. So, whether you noticed or not, we missed last week. We apologize.
Sorry.
I don't really remember why we missed last week. Oh, Victor. Victor was why we missed last week. But anyway, speaking of, we have an extra guest on the show tonight who is not going to speak or anything. Our producer is so exhausted, he has to lay in the background with his beauty mask on and headphones and get some restful sleep. We took pictures. Maybe we'll post them on Facebook later.
I already posted them.
Well, I meant on the fan page.
Oh.
All 30 of them.
Oh, yeah.
So, not going to lie, we really didn't have a topic. We were kind of just going to go off the last one about why we're single or forever alone or whatever. But we did have some questions, so I'm going to go ahead and get my questions out of the way. I think you said you didn't have questions. So, Jean would like to know, when, where, how did you first learn about the birds and the bees, and from who? Best friend, sibling, classmates, parents, or what? You go first.
So, I learned from my older brother when I asked him to play Barbies with me one time, and he showed me how Ken can bend Barbie over, and I instantly learned doggy style, and I thought all sex was done that way. And then I had him play with me a few more times, and he stripped all my Barbie dolls down naked, put them in sexual positions. My mom found it while we were at school, and when I came home, she took all my Barbies away. And I was in elementary school, so sometime from kindergarten to fifth grade, I don't remember the exact age. But when she found my Barbies behind the bed, naked, Ken's head was in between Barbie's legs.
Wow.
And she took all of them, and I was so mad. And I told her that it was my brother that made them all do sex.
See, it's a sibling thing, because I learned from my sister Jennifer as well. And I don't remember the exact age, but I was super young. And I just remember, like, she must have been learning herself at the time, because she just, like, shared with me, like, this word means this, and you do this, and I remember at first I was kind of terrified at the whole idea, but...
Well, my mom's boyfriend at the time also had Playboy magazines under their bed.
My dad did, too. I found them in the cabinet in the bathroom one time.
Well, I used to read them, and I remember reading, like, the little articles, and then it was...
Who reads the articles? Really?
I did. I was a reader as a kid.
Me, too, but
and
I didn't
it said... It would say come, C-U-M, and just all I can think of in my head is they're totally spelling this word wrong.
I remember Jennifer writing the word and thinking, like, she don't even know how to spell, and she's the older one.
Yeah, I remember just seeing that word, and I'm like, this cannot be right. And then, like, certain pictures, I would see, like, dildos or something, and I'm like, what the fuck is this? I was just really confused about all of that. But as far as actual sexual positions and sex in general, my brother taught me with my Barbie dolls.
Yeah, mine too, my sister. I never got the talk from my parents, I guess. I learned from my sister and classmates, because my parents never gave me the talk. Trial and error.
No, my mom told me in high school, when I was 14, that if I get pregnant, I'm going to raise it. If not, she's kicking me out of the house.
Wow.
And she put me on birth control, because she said I'm her daughter, and she wouldn't know what would happen. So.
Okay.
There's that.
Next question is from Eddie. And he had actually asked us for the last podcast, and we didn't get to it, but or we forgot. Sorry, Eddie. Eddie says to define manly.
I don't even think you can define that. I mean,
I was thinking about this one earlier today. Like, I struggle with coming up with a definition.
I guess there's manly to me is like someone who comes off as very masculine, like a hard worker. I don't know. When I think of manly, I think of a fucking guy in the woods chopping
down trees. I think of, like, lumberjack. Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, I think lumberjack.
Or...
And I don't want, like, I don't actually like complete manly, because I think you have to have, like, a little bit of asshole to you to be a manly guy, too.
Yeah, I love assholes, though.
See, I'm more of, like the poetic, sensitive, with a little kick of manly to you. Like,
well, I'm not a lesbian, so...
That's not what everyone else
says. Just kidding. Just because you're poetic doesn't mean you have a vagina. probably don't have a big penis, but I'm just kidding again. When I think of manly, like,
I just like guys that actually have heart, I guess is what I like.
Yeah, I like guys that are manly with hearts. I don't think I could be with someone who's all into poetic and coffee shops.
Oh,
stuff.
I don't like that. I just like that somebody has a touch of that, I guess. Not
I like straight. When guys are so bad at being romantic, it's almost comical.
I like when they're bad at it, but because they're trying and have no clue what they're doing.
Yeah, I like it like that. I don't want some guy to, like, give me candlelit dinners and shit all the time. That stuff gets annoying.
Right. Okay, and then we actually have several questions from Justin. So
we
the first
really
one,
answer that.
Well, okay, Eddie, I don't know what Katie's words are, but I can't really define it. My best way is a lumberjack, whatever is parallel to
you
that.
You just kind of know if someone's manly or not. If you are the woman and you feel like the dude in the relationship, he's probably not very manly. Don't ever make your woman feel like she has the penis.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like that. Like, I don't... You just kind of get a feeling, like, I've been around people that you kind of feel like if somebody jumped you, you're going to be the one that saves you guys.
Like, every single one of my relationships. Every single one of them.
Fair enough. So, do you feel like we adequately answered that? Because sure. I don't feel like I can answer that.
No, not really. When I think of manly, I just think of, like, somebody in the woods.
Plaid shirt, long beard, axe over one shoulder.
Well endowed.
Okay, so Justin says, and see, this question is really making me wonder, because he says, how long into an internet relation should you tell someone you're missing a limb? I don't think that I've...
immediately.
Now that I think about it, I'm trying to think. I can't say with certainty that I have seen Justin's legs. So now I'm wondering, is Justin missing a leg? I don't know about immediately. Like, if you're just talking to somebody, but I do think, like, if you talk quite a bit in the first day, it should come out in the first day.
I think it should come out in the first 30 seconds. If I did not have a leg, I would say, hi, I'm Katie, and I don't have a leg.
I think that's a little
because
soon.
Then I feel like if I spend my whole fucking day interacting with this person and then I find out they're missing body parts, I'm gonna be fucking pissed. Well, didn't we discuss this on the last podcast how I feel about
we've
amputees?
Discussed it
so maybe
we've
it's just me maybe,
we've discussed
maybe it's because I don't like amputees because
okay, so
they freak me out.
If you're talking to Katie, it should be immediately.
Oh yeah, you should introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm the one-legged.
Wave that leg at me on webcam or something. I need to know.
Hey.
Instantly before we carry on.
And two, have you ever sent someone a real pic, undoctored, of yourself and they don't answer back? I don't think I've ever sent a picture to somebody and they just didn't answer back. I mean, I've gone on a date and I got a call back or something, I'm sure, at some point, but
I don't really talk to strangers that much on the internet. And when I do and they start asking for pictures, I pretty much tell them to fuck off.
Okay.
So back to this leg thing. So does this guy have a missing leg?
I don't know. Now I'm going to make, Justin, now I'm going to need a full body pic.
I'm going to need a
you
webcam
can be clothed.
Video of you stabbing all your limbs with a knife so I can know if they're real or fake.
Jesus. Okay. I'm going to force her to move on to number three now because she's getting aggressive. I feel like my leg. Oh, now our producer snores and he gets really loud and he's starting to snore. Have you... And he was worried about me burping. Really? Really, Victor? Okay, three. Have you ever sent someone a fake pic and they did answer back? Which, I don't really get that one. I mean, I guess, like... No.
They did answer back? No matter what kind of picture I've sent people, they've answered.
I mean, I guess if I sent them a fake pic, it would be amazing, so I would hope they would answer back, but...
Yeah. I've sent fake pictures of my penis to men to get them to leave me alone.
And have you ever been catfished or catfished anyone? I think we kind of touched it. Well, I didn't really get... I think we kind of touched on it, did we? Or have we talked about that show so much? But I thought the little cop...
Oh, yeah,
I felt catfished by... That was just my worst experience online. But I do feel like I got catfished with that one. I have never personally catfished anyone when I was younger. Which I think is fairly common. I definitely did the whole, like... I'm really 14, but I'm 20. And not in an attempt to, like, date him or anything. I just wanted to be older.
Yeah.
So I definitely pulled the average lie about your age. Definitely wasn't to try and sleep with anyone or anything, though. But
Yeah, I never tried that. My friends and I used to call this chat line when we were like 13, 14 years old. And we would say we're 18. And we would talk to grown men. Basically because we were bored and we thought it was fucking hilarious to hear a guy.
I was
going to
say, we're like the same as because we're just bored looking for something to do.
Yeah.
We are river rats.
We just wanted to hear the guys jack off on the phone.
No, we didn't care about none of that.
Well, we were young, so we thought it was kind of comical to hear it.
I'm sure you can hear our producer snoring in the background now. We apologize in advance because it's only going to get louder. And I didn't feel good today and kept burping, and he was aggressively getting on to me before this podcast that I need to get all my burps out. I don't think they would have been as bad as this.
Our producer is very aggressive. I mean, abusive almost.
He frightens me.
We only do this podcast because he makes us.
We're not even allowed to leave the room until we're done.
We're not.
He locks the door.
Once.
It's a secret code.
Once, he threatened to shove us in a basement and force feed us tuna sandwiches. And glasses of milk.
With bananas cut up in them. Only because...
You ever had milk and bananas and tuna? Worst ever.
So Katie and I stop on the way to do the podcast and we get milkshakes today. And I asked for a chocolate one. She asked for, is it Nutella or Nutella?
Nutella.
Okay. The lady at the drive-thru hates us. We don't even know why. We didn't do anything wrong. We get our milkshakes. First of all, Steak and Shake, get your crap together. Give out spoons like Wendy's does because you cannot get that milkshake through the straw. It was by the good grace of I don't know what that I was able to get my milkshake through the straw. Or I just have these rare talents that Katie does not behold because she could not get hers through the straw.
Mine had big chunks of Nutella and I had three cherries. Count it, people.
Three. One, two, three.
Good job.
But we're trying to determine if we even got the right stuff because mine tastes like it has banana in it, which I love banana, but only to eat a banana. I do not like banana in anything else.
I don't even know if mine tastes like Nutella because I've only had it a handful of times.
Yeah, I've never had Nutella, so I can't tell her if it's Nutella. She tastes banana in mine, so it was this huge fiasco. So shout out to Steak and Shake at the girl that hated us at the drive-thru. Thanks for ruining our milkshakes.
Yeah.
Because those milkshakes? Those milkshakes aren't bringing anybody to the yard.
Moron.
And this is my real hair. And those are her real boobs.
By the way, if you guys did not get that, YouTube, Ashley Gay, A-S-H-L-I-G-A-Y, and you'll be hooked.
I think we told them to do that last time, too, so.
If you haven't done it, do it.
You should really get on that.
Moron.
You monkey. So that was all my questions. And we kind of suck because we said on the last podcast we were going to try and touch base with either exes. Well, I thought it was exes or male friends. I just didn't think touching base with exes was a good thing. What are you doing?
Nothing.
Mm-mm-mm-mm. Katie's selfieing video? No thanks.
Never mind, guys. Never mind.
Right. I already told you look like you're on meth today with their eyes.
It's going for that look. Everybody else looks like that.
What is up with your hair, though? It's weird. It's like sticking up, but there's no clip here. Do you see this?
There's.
Oh. All right. Anyway. So I thought the questions we were supposed to ask was, what do you think we should change to be more I should change to be more dateable? And what they think is a factor in remaining single. Apparently, according to Katie, we're also supposed to ask why they think it didn't work out. I thought it was pretty self-explanatory with most.
What we were supposed to ask were...
She changed the questions.
I told her not to ask anyone questions yet because I changed the questions. But then she got on her cell phone with someone and disappeared into her room, so she missed out on the project. But the questions were supposed to be, why do you think we didn't work out? And you're supposed to ask people you've dated. What is something about myself you would suggest I need to change to improve any future relationships, and what attracted you to me? So we have different questions.
Okay, well, you can go ahead with yours.
And she asked people she didn't date.
I actually did date people that I asked. Thank you very much.
All of them?
No.
Okay, then. I dated all of mine, or went on a date with them, at least.
Oh, well, if we went on a date, then it's more
so,
than...
The first question is, why do you think we didn't work out? Well, the point of this was to see if there
was like a common theme.
Yeah. If you ask three guys that you went on, that you dated, were in a relationship with, whatever, you ask them three of the same questions, and if they give you the same answers, then obviously you're the fucking problem. So, of course, mine are all fucking everywhere, so whatever. Obviously, I'm perfect.
Obviously.
Obviously. I mean, literally.
That's perfection. Probably why they couldn't be with you. You were too
probably,
perfect.
Probably. Probably. Question number one. Why do you think we didn't work out? I asked the first guy. He said insecurities between both of us. I would like to
I almost want to make a game of this and guess what X said this.
This wasn't an ex. It was just a person I went on a date with. I would like to say that I was not insecure. I am the most least insecure person in the world because zero fucks are given at all times. But if that's how what he thinks, how he feels, okay then.
I already know who that one was.
The second guy I did date.
Hurry, talk faster or you'll hear Victor snoring.
The second guy I did date.
Don't leave long pauses.
When I said, why do you think we didn't work out? He said, wow, I had a total fucking, what's it called when you read stuff backwards?
Dyslexic?
Dyslexic moment, because that question's at the top of the page, and this question's at the bottom, and I wrote the answer to this question at the top of the page with this. It's fucking weird. Anyways, so why do you think we didn't work out to the second guy? He said, I wasn't ready for commitment, and I still needed to live my life. He was 8 years older than me, and he felt that...
He needed to live his life, or that you needed to live
my
yours?
Life.
That's reasonable.
He was ready to settle down because he was 8 years older, and I was in my early 20s.
See, I think that's reasonable because I was in my early 20s when Dennis and I got together, and he kept saying, like, because he was 8 years older, that, you know, you're going to change so much. And I kept saying, no, I won't. And in many ways, he was wrong. Like, I remained the same, but I did, at 30, I saw what he was talking about. Like, you kind of start to get set in your ways, and...
Yeah.
So.
Then, why do you think we didn't work out? The third guy said that I wasn't ready for a serious relationship. Thank you, third guy, for assuming that for me. Thanks a lot. Then the second question is, what is something about myself you would suggest I need to change to improve any future relationships? The first guy says, be more willing to communicate about emotions. Which I've heard that from other people that I've dated. Actually, my ex, who just dumped me, told me that I need to learn how to communicate more. But it's not that I don't.
Didn't communicate.
Huh?
I thought he was the one that didn't communicate.
He didn't fucking communicate unless
both of
he
you
was
suffered.
Speaking drunk.
I can speak drunk.
It's not that I don't communicate. It's just I don't. Sometimes I have this really serious look on my face and I look like I'm deep in thought. But all I'm thinking about is what the fuck I'm going to have for dinner the next day. Like, so then I have had guys.
Me too. I'm like, I wonder how many trees there are on this earth.
Yeah. And then I wonder why they're on a straight line. But anyways, because
when you plant them that way.
It's fucking weird, huh? And then I'm like, who the fuck is Johnny Appleseed? But that's besides
the
point.
Here comes Johnny Appleseed.
So I've had guys that I'm dating and they'll be like, oh my God, are you okay? What's on your mind? What are you thinking? Why do you look so down? And really, I'm just like, do I need to go to the store and buy some tampons? Like. I'm thinking. That's what I'm thinking in my head. So then I get accused for not communicating because apparently a bitch can't think to herself. So that person says I need to communicate more about my emotions. The second person says don't be so flirty with other men. But it's funny because right after that he says put more faith in men. So don't flirt with them, but believe that not all of them are assholes.
Why is that funny? It's like two separate things.
Don't be flirty with men, but then put more faith into men.
Yeah, there's a difference, I think.
No, it's still,
I can see where they're coming from.
It's still involving men.
Well, that's the only common denominator in that.
No,
men.
You're not understanding what I'm saying.
Like, I think I get what you're trying to say is like...
Don't flirt with the men, but go out and get yourself out there and have more faith in them or whatever. Like,
well, yeah,
no.
Don't be standoffish to them. Like, have faith that they're not all going
to
break your heart.
If I was being standoffish to them, how am I flirting? That's what I'm trying to say. That's why it made no sense to me.
I really don't see
what he's talking about because I don't flirt with people. I usually tell people to leave me alone.
True.
So I don't know where he came from that. So maybe he thinks by me telling people to fuck off is me being flirty.
Well, some people out there think you're playing hard to get.
Well, I am not playing hard to get. I can assure you I'm not playing hard to get. Then the third guy said communicate more. Then again, it just goes back to me having a blank stare on my face and they think I'm up to something. The third question was, what attracted you to me? The first guy says, Your relentless ability to pursue what you believe is right, even if you don't always succeed at them.
It's pretty deep.
Yeah. Second guy says, your sense of humor and your smile. I like it when it's not deep. I just like short, simple answers.
Can I just throw out there that I totally think Eddie is guy number one for all of these?
Yeah.
Yes, I'm so good.
The third guy says, your eyes and your laughter. So the only thing I see that multiple people have brought up is that I need to learn how to communicate more.
Oh, God, I dropped my pen.
And
Eddie's the only deep, thoughtful one, apparently.
And I have nice eyes and a nice smile.
And a nice butt. Bounce a quarter off that ass. Just kidding. Oh, I'm stuck.
My friend. So I think my friend is a lesbian. And I don't really know who to talk to about this.
Anybody that's on my Facebook and sees how much you tag me and stuff knows you're the lesbian. If I am the if we're lesbians, I'm the girl of the two of us.
So all I'm hearing is quit tagging you and stuff on Facebook.
No. Other people do tell me they filter to not see me in their news feeds.
So those people can suck it.
Those people have been blocked and deleted now.
Well, then they can really suck it.
So on mine,
Peeve crown.
I actually got a lot of similar answers. They were not quite as across the board, but so as far as what they think is a factor in me remaining single or being single is guy number one says that I am intimidating. Did not really go into a lot of details on that, just that I'm intimidating, which the definition is scary, so that kind of gave me a complex.
Like, old Dyke scary?
No, because I asked that. I said, like, I'm some crazy butchy lesbian scary? They said no.
Pictures of your boobs off my phone.
Yeah, please. In case we get into a By ride. The way, I'm the lesbian. Katie has my boob pictures on her phone.
Maybe I'll sell them the red.
She tube. Was trying to take pictures of my cleavage before we started this podcast.
She's lying.
I'm looking at him right now. I'm going to get my camera, take a picture of him off your home. Okay. Guy number two says that he thinks I get myself in these situations where I'm a nice person and I try to help people and they take it as in I care more than what I intend to, and that I have the ability to see through people's BS essentially, but that doesn't necessarily stop me from helping. And I do think, like, I put myself in some fucked up situations because I'm trying to be nice. Mm-hmm. And he and I were discussing that today, that, like, I will be really nice. And just like the Mick guy in the beginning of the conversation, he was like, you're so nice, you're so sweet. By the end of it, it was like, you're a mean person, you're a fucking, you know, suddenly I'm the bad person because I take so much, and then finally I just snap and I'm like, fuck it, I don't want to talk to you anymore.
But this Mick guy was a psycho anyways.
Yes, we both had to deal with him. And guy number three says, which maybe might mean what guy number one meant, but he just said that I am intimidating in that I hold my own. So most guys coming into the picture, there's not a lot they would be able to bring to the table. Or from the outside looking in, he thinks that most guys, and for himself as well, that when he came to the picture, there wasn't anything for him to offer. Like, which I think comes from the experience that I've spent pretty much all of my adulthood on my own. Even married, my ex traveled all the time, so I was just always on my own. So you just kind of learn to take care of things. And then as far as what I should do to become more dateable, guy number one said to let people in, that I have a tendency to be standoffish and not really take the wall down and let people in. Guy number two said that you don't have to, because this is a choice you make. And guy number three said, be nice to guys more.
I'm shocked no one said that to me.
I don't think that I'm generally mean to guys. I think the problem is
that... No, I think you're overly nice.
Yeah. And I'm trying to work on that. Like, actually talking to all these people really, like, made me think. And I am a sucker for, like, I will be the first to admit I hold on to the past. Like, especially people that I've crossed paths with that, you know, I care. So I'm like, oh, I got to keep in touch with them to know how they're doing. And I'm learning, like, the reality is sometimes it's more painful to hold on to those friendships or whatever ships they are than to just let it go. Like, I'm realizing I can let them go care about them, worry about them, whatever. But I don't need to have them in my life because a lot of times it's more drama. So I've kind of been on a deleting spree on social media and in my phone this past week, like deleting people from Facebook and social media accounts and blocking them. So if you're one of those few people that are listening to this, you might want to check. We may not be friends anymore. Don't take it personal. I care about each and every one that I deleted, but it's just time we go our separate ways. I don't want to be drugged down with the drama or the emotions or any of it. Like, just want to break the chains. Break these chains. So, a small tidbit that nobody knew. In the beginning of the year, Katie and I became ordained ministers. One day, we were bored and found out you could do it online. And I will be officiating my first wedding this weekend.
Whoop whoop. And I will be witnessing this.
She will be, but for me, it's mostly the comfort of, first of all, I don't want to do it, but it's my childhood friend, Rachel, from first grade. We used to swap shoes in class. And she's asked me more than once, and I kind of am nervous because it's my first time, but I kind of want to do it just to get it out of the way. She thinks it would be hilarious for me to do it. Oh, who knew? Badge cream for facial.
Primer.
So, we're going to go to Cocoa Beach, which is about 2 hours away. I mainly want Katie to come because, one, she's my road trip partner. She makes driving a lot easier. Two, I also, since the last podcast, got diagnosed with social anxiety, which nobody seems to believe me on because they think that I'm far too social to have social anxiety. But Katie is my witness, and I think she already mentioned it before. Like, I will freak the hell out in a grocery store when I get around too many people. Like, sweaty, gonna pass out. We won't even get into the topic of how crazy I think I am for having this now. But, so I'm nervous that having to stand up in front of people and perform a wedding, which it is small, very intimate, not a lot of people. But the good news is, since Katie's an ordained minister too, if I freak out and pass out, she can just come right over, snatch the paper from my hand, and carry on and finish the wedding.
Yes. Heavenly Father, we are gathered here today.
Yes.
That's all I got.
Oh. See, I read you my stuff.
We are gathered here today, folks.
Rachel has no idea, but I literally have Googled every word that is going to be coming out of my mouth, screenshotted it, and now I have to rewrite it all and put it together. But it's beautiful stuff. Beautiful. I could not come up with this stuff on my own. I mean, I might throw one or two words in to change it and make it my own, but I'm kind of a nervous wreck about this. I did ask if I should pull my nun costume out from Halloween a few years ago and wear that. She's like, no, a dress is fine.
I'm more nervous that I'm being drugged to a wedding that I don't even know the people. But really, I'm not even really nervous. I don't even care. I told Amanda that I used to suffer from social anxiety and I would want to vomit when someone would try to talk to me or there's large groups of people. And the best way out of that, I became a waitress and I was forced to. I was getting paid to be friendly. And I'm not friendly because I'm not getting paid for it, but I have no more anxiety. I can go out in public in large groups. And it's so ridiculous because when we're in stores, this girl is behind me having a mental breakdown, sweating, butt sweat, pit sweat,
butt sweat
everywhere. And I'm telling everybody, get the fuck out the way.
Move, bitch. Get out the way. But this one's even funnier. Don't say it. Sorry, I was showing Katie something on my phone, and she can't just glance at it and carry on in conversation.
Because I was reading it. Who was that?
I'll share it with you more later, because somebody who knows them might be listening. We don't want to throw all their business out there.
Oh, probably business.
So, we'll let you know next week how the whole
Wedding goes,
if Katie had to take over. Hopefully not.
I'm just going to push her body out of the way and pick up where she left off.
Yes. And we have AC again at my house. Whoop, whoop.
I'm trying to think of anything exciting that's happened to me in the past 2 weeks.
Moment of silence while Katie uses all of the cylinders in her brain to think.
I got nothing. I got drunk last weekend or the weekend before.
Did we? No. When did you get drunk? You know, we took your brother out for his birthday?
Oh. Wait, no. For my birthday.
I was pretty sure we did a podcast since then.
Oh, well.
I mean, your birthday is beginning of May. Mid-May.
Second week.
Midway through the second week in May.
May 13th is when we got drunk.
Okay, well.
I got drunk on May 13th.
It was a Friday the 13th.
It's about the only thing I can think of that's happened to me recently.
Did we have a podcast since then?
I don't know.
Huh. I think we did, maybe not.
I can't really think of anything to discuss. I mean, we answered the questions from people.
I do love that more and more people are getting involved and listening now and sending questions, because I don't know why, but I love the question thing because they vary so much. Everybody's so different in the questions they ask. Mm-hmm. So keep those coming.
So how do you feel about that gorilla? That's social.
I have to say, I didn't comment because I was in the middle of working when you sent it, but I have never been more proud of Katie in my entire life.
Woo-woo.
In the paragraph where, like, my thoughts are, it's really unfortunate. There is a part of me that's like, all right, when you take your kids out, you should keep a better eye on them. However, it's such a tough situation.
I don't think it's tough.
When it comes down to it, if my kid's in there, sorry I had a lapse of judgment, didn't pay attention, but I'm going to choose my kid over the gorilla. I'm going to choose anyone's kid over the gorilla.
And now it's no longer, people are no longer upset. People are still upset the gorilla was shot. Now it's just, oh, she should have been a better mother.
Yes, but that's the paragraph that you had that made me most proud, because I don't think I could have articulated it as nicely as you did or put it in as great a words as when you were talking about parenting. That is, there are people out there that are like, oh, the problem is she don't watch her kid. I watch my kid 24/7. They don't go out of my sight. Yeah. And the fact is, I'm a mom of three. And while, especially when they were younger, I'd like to say, like, oh, I was exhausted because I watched them all the time, and knock on wood, nobody broke a bone on my clock. The reality is, like, I just got lucky. That doesn't mean, like, I was an awesome mom, because as Katie put it, and I don't have it to know exactly what she said, but the truth is, like, we're all guilty of not watching our kid at some point, because otherwise, how else did you get that crayon writing on the wall of your house? How else did this get broken or this boo-boo happen? And because for a moment in time, you weren't watching. You weren't paying attention. You weren't there to catch the fall or whatever they were doing. So I thought you put it in words really well on the fact of, like, we're all just kind of trying to make it as a parent. There is no perfect parent. We all do it differently. I don't think there's a right or wrong way to say how your parenting is better than somebody else's, because it's not, and we're all guilty of not paying attention at some point.
I think it's ridiculous how they're all bashing her. Yes, I think that she should have been more prepared. I think that as anyone, okay, we're going to the zoo today, let me make sure my kid doesn't, you as a parent should have in the back
should
of your
be
mind
a little more prepared at the zoo rather than say around the house.
Even if it's not about your kid falling into an animal pit, you have to think about people trying to kidnap your kid or whatever. Whatever the case may be, you know, you should keep an eye on your kid in public. But we were not there. We don't know if she had multiple kids and she turned around.
The story was that there were multiple kids there. My only thing is, the kid wanted, he verbally said a couple of times he wanted to go in there. So that would be like, I'm not even going to lie, my son is a total wanderer. And it's not so that he tries to get away. He just kind of, like, is in his own little world. He's gotten a little better. But he used to just, like, he would be looking up at the sky or the ground, not paying attention to his surroundings, and then, like, just kind of wander off. And all of a sudden, you turn around, and you're like, where's Tyler? But I think, like, that's a red flag for me. If at that age, he's expressing interest in, like, ooh, gorilla, I want to go in there. You know, and because he's that young, he's going to try. You have to know at that age when they say it, they're going to try. I think maybe that would have been the red flag to pay a little more attention to that child and make sure. But at the end of the day, like, we all fall short. It's really unfortunate. It is.
I read something where it said she turned around to tend to another kid.
And it happens that fast. That's the thing.
She wasn't aware that, I guess, he could get through the barrier or whatever. I guess he had to crawl through some bushes and stuff or something.
See, and I somewhat blame the zoo. Yeah, I don't blame the zoo in the fact of, if these people try and sue the zoo, I changed my whole thought process that they're a joke. But because I read an article about a lady that worked at a zoo, and she said, you know, back in the day, there used to be big cages around them. You couldn't get to the animals. And the more time's gone on, the more they've tried to improve the view. So you feel like you are in their habitat, and therefore it's come
like
at the cost
they
of.
They should do that.
No, I agree. I think that's why I say, I think part of the blame goes on the zoo because it was accessible. Maybe not easily, but
I think zoos are horrible to begin with. I went to my first zoo last Easter. I mean, I liked it. I enjoyed seeing the animals. And you know, luckily for, fortunately, anyways, the zoo I went to, it was very lifelike, the habitats, but they were also closed off. There was no way anybody was getting through these barriers. But none of the animals seemed depressed or anything. But I am a big believer that animals belong in the wild, so I feel like if you're going to run an establishment with a bunch of wild animals that could tear you open within 10 seconds, you should have better barriers. I know you want to make it seem more realistic and better for the people.
Right.
But it's a place with a bunch of wild animals that could tear you apart at any minute.
And that's the thing is, like, I don't think the gorilla was necessarily going to harm the child, but look back on the situation, like, a whole bunch of people were yelling at it. Like, it's going to panic. It's going to freak out.
He was. He was stressed out over that. But no one knows what was going on in his mind. You don't know. And then people were saying the tranquilizer thing. Well, it takes a while for a tranquilizer to kick in.
Plus, you never know how they're going to react.
Yeah. As soon as that dart would have hit him, he could have freaked out and attacked the kid. Or he could have fallen on top of the kid. Or anything could have happened with a tranquilizer. And it takes longer than a second to actually kick in, so there was just no point. They didn't have time for that. And then people were saying, why didn't they send keepers in? Well, gorillas are never face to face with their keepers at the zoo. I read from an article from a woman who I guess has been a gorilla keeper for 30 years. Apparently there's always some kind of bars or mesh or whatever, screening or something in between the keepers and the gorilla. So people were wondering why the keepers didn't go in. Well,
yeah, they and I think worried. A lot of pictures where it's shown one-on-one with a person, it was a baby.
Yeah.
Like, any pictures I saw of it in the arms of somebody, it was a baby.
Yeah, a lot of people, they were worried that if they were to go into the enclosure, then the gorilla would have freaked out and snatched up the little boy and ran, like gorillas do in the wild when something's coming towards their baby. And in that case, the gorilla is so strong, he could have easily crushed a bone in that kid, crushed his skull, anything. So they didn't want to do that. I read something where they tried to send something into the enclosure to distract him. I think it was a female gorilla or something, or a female whatever. Did you read about that? They tried to send something in there to distract him.
But it didn't work.
It wasn't a human. It was a female whatever, and it didn't work. He was just wanting to protect that kid. And gorillas are extremely strong, so I think it sucks that he got shot. I'm glad the kid's still alive, but...
Yeah.
You know, I personally think that if you have a toddler or a kid under the age of, like, 5 that you know likes to run around, I think everybody should put their kids on this fucking leash. I used to think those leashes looked ridiculous.
I had to put one on Tyler. But when we would fly through the airports handy. When he was little, I used to think the same thing. And not so much they looked ridiculous, I just felt like...
It's a child, not
it
a
was
dog.
Just, yeah, like, this is my kid, not a dog. But he was such a little wanderer, and I would worry so much at the airports with him. That somebody would try and snatch him, or he'd wander off. That he had a little monkey backpack with a leash on it. That we would do our thing around the airport.
They come in handy, I'm sure.
So, well, that's all I have for today. It was nice to catch up with everybody and get some questions out of the way.
Yeah, we'll make sure we have a topic for next week.
Yeah,
actually, have something to talk about.
We'll prepare better. I mean, summer should be interesting. We are going to try and have some fun. Pretty much, my kids are going for. The whole summer, so we have some road trips planned and some adventures.
A little Florida Keys, a little Kentucky, a little South Carolina. A
little bit of everything in my life.
Yes. A little bit of strip clubs.
A little bit of South Carolina, a little bit of North Carolina, a little bit of Georgia.
Georgia.
We have to drive through Georgia. So, my friend Ashley lives there, the other Ashley Gay, my Ashley Gay that is not a moron.
Yeah, so. These are my real boobs.
You have to watch the video. It never gets old. All right. Well, thanks for listening. Bye. Thanks.